Ben Riga. I'm a platform advisor on the Windows Azure Platform Evangelism team. And all this week I've been chatting with partners and customers that are attending PDC and that are doing interesting and wonderful applications or solutions on the Windows Azure platform. With me today is Paul Forty, who is a system architect, I guess, with Invensys, and Alexei Savatiev. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay. Alexei is a system architect, senior architect. I'm really messing the titles up today. Alexei is a senior architect with Microsoft, who has been working specifically with Paul and his team to develop a really interesting solution. Let's talk about Invensys. So what is Invensys? I mean, I have an idea. Most people may have heard of it. Certainly if you're in manufacturing, Invensys is a big name.
For sure. We're a technology company pretty much centered around industrial automation.
Right.
We're in all the vertical markets of pharmaceuticals, oil and gas,
right.
Power, food and beverage. We're in about 300,000 plants around the world. In some way or shape or form, 300,000 either running our software or using our hardware.
Mm-hmm.
So everything involving industrial automation, we've been there. The company Foxborough has been around 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I started with Wonderware about 15 years ago.
Wow. Okay.
And you know, we're the market leader in HMI software.
Great. Awesome. So what is your role at Invensys? What is it that you do?
Well, I work over a lot of the different projects as a system architect for the company. I concentrate a lot on visualization. It's one of my key things that I really enjoy, mm-hmm. working with the Silverlight technology. But also I enjoy back-end services too,
right.
WCF. I'm real excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first started hearing about can I say Red Dog?
Sure, why not?
Invited to that SDR, I got very excited about the possibility of what we could do in the industrial space.
How long ago was that?
We
called it Red Dog. It was a long time.
Yeah, we're still wearing red shoes.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, so we're talking a couple of years anyway.
Okay. Okay. So you obviously, the fact that you're sitting here means you developed something.
Well, I would like to say that I have myself, but Alesky and Dave Harden, who's also my colleague, system architecture team in there, have started this prototype about 8 months ago.
Okay.
I had a prototype on my own getting started, but these guys were well on their way, and they asked me to come in with them here for the PDC to help out.
Okay.
And Dave Harden was presenting at a different conference, GridWise Council.
Right.
So he's very big in the smart grid initiative around the country and working with the government and helping to define standards.
So what does the solution do exactly?
Well, should I let Alesky talk about this?
Sure. I'll introduce myself first. Mm-hmm.
Sure, go ahead.
So I'm a senior architect and developer in Platform Evangelism, a group working with global ISVs such as...
I've heard of developer Platform Evangelism.
Yes.
Like that group.
You're in there.
Exactly.
So this is one of the projects that we actually provided the guidance and help to Invensys to build a prototype of a next-generation solution that
mm-hmm.
they are building
mm-hmm.
using our latest and greatest technologies such
mm-hmm.
as Windows Azure,
right.
Service Bus, and Silverlight. And what this solution basically does, it's called Smart Grid Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So we are creating the end-user applications and the back-end infrastructure that will power next-generation smart grid applications. So by itself, it is also an application, but it also provides an infrastructure for next-generation applications,
so
such as Invensys existing applications
right.
that power power plants, other manufacturing facilities, and in the end, home residences as well.
So meters that are in people's homes.
Smart meters
mm-hmm.
connecting
right.
To the utility companies through the scalable infrastructure such as one provided by Service Bus and solutions in the backend that aggregate the data from the users on the consumption
mm-hmm.
side, on the pricing side, and deliver the prices as well to the end users.
Okay. So we've been talking at an abstract level. I think the best thing would be, why don't we actually see it? And then we can talk about the architecture and all the stuff that's going on under the covers. Sound good?
Sure.
All right, let me grab the camera.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So what are we seeing here, Paul?
This is an application that was built 5 years ago, but it was used in the power industry to help balance the power grid with the people supplying energy to the grid.
Uh-huh.
But very specific to this application and our demo that we're doing today is you see this red above this line here. This is we're integrating the area under the curve and actually calculating real-time dollar values on what transgressions and deviations are costing the company. Okay, so we're going to look at what would that be if that real-time data came in on a real-time through the service bus. So we're going to go grab that information, and we have this Visual Studio project here. Excuse me.
Okay, do you want to log in again?
What
happened? You timed out?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all right. Okay.
Okay.
What can we see here?
Here's my cursor. Okay. Do we want to go through the code here, Alexi, or not? Because you're okay. Are you ready? You ready to go?
We're filming.
Oh, we are. Okay. Basically, this is just a small client application that's going to reach up into the cloud, grab information. We're going to bind to a binding a service to get us data. We're going to launch our Orchestra message exchange, which is a location independent message exchange. We're going to do some XML manipulation, and then we're going to shove that data back into that application that you just saw. So we're going to build this application, and here it comes. Okay, so we have a little command window here. You have your pricer running, right? Okay. This is going to go log into the service bus, grab the pricing information, which it did right there. You see that coming down in. Now we have an actual dollar value.
So where's that pricing information coming from?
That's actually published by ISOs.
What's an ISO?
Independent system operators that run the grid. So there's many of them around the country that do this. And Lasky has a program called a pricer that reaches up into those things, pulls that data down, and puts it up on the cloud and allows us to subscribe to it as a client, as a consumer of that. So as you see, we're grabbing that information, and at the same time in the background, we're pushing that data into that other application through the Orchestra's message bus. Grab back over here. And can I get that? Okay, right here. We're having some wireless problems, but as you see here,
all those laptops you give away at the conference,
exactly.
Everyone's on the Wi-Fi now.
Yeah. So
actually,
as you see that,
I'm going to get a glare.
Excuse me. Couldn't read that there. So as you see, there's the new value that just came in right there and being posted here. This would be a screen that they would normally use to input that data manually, but now.
So what is this price? This is the price of what exactly?
The wholesale price of a megawatt hour of energy. So what the actual generation company would be paid, the utility would be paid to produce that energy and put it on the grid.
Okay.
Okay. So right now I'm going to switch over to Alexi's side and let him show you the more sophisticated goings-on into the service bus.
Okay. Well, let me turn off the camera so I can get over to that other laptop.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we're looking at PowerPoint here, right?
We're going to move over to Alexi's machine, and he's going to show you the architecture of the PLC that they built together with him and Dave Harden.
All right. So what are we seeing here, Alexi?
So this is a high-level diagram of the portion of this next-generation architecture I was talking about that covers specifically dynamic energy pricing scenario.
So what we saw a minute ago was the existing version. And now we're looking at the next generation.
Yes, the portion of it that covers that particular scenario only. And it is already using two major cloud components, Windows Azure and AppFabric Service Bus. It is also using ACS, which is Access Control Service, to secure the message flow here. On the left-hand side, we see the cloud portions that are deployed in Windows Azure Energy Controller Service and Registrar Service. Energy Controller Service being the main service that distributes the data to the clients.
Right.
And the aggregator aggregates this market data that we were talking about earlier, the prices that we receive from the wholesale generators and the prices that get converted to the retail and delivered to the client.
Right.
In AppFabric Service Bus, we have a few endpoints here that are basically exposed by the utility companies and that serve as entry points for the information flowing in and out of utility companies to the clients and from the clients. From the clients, we actually receive the utilization information from the smart meters, and we send dynamic pricing information to the client so that they can calculate what the utilization is, how much money they spend, and predict how much money they will be spending over the next period of time.
Okay, sounds cool.
And on the right-hand side, we have client applications, which are basically implemented in Silverlight and in command lines and WPFs. We are going to show the portion of the application that is end-user facing implemented in Silverlight 3.
Eye candy. I like that. Let's have a look. PowerPoint is not as exciting as Silverlight, guaranteed. So what are we looking at here? So this is so where is this running? This is running locally. So this is running on the Dev Fabric?
It is running on the Dev Fabric.
Okay.
But essentially, it is Windows Azure solution that can be deployed to the live instance. It is currently getting the prices from New York ISO, Independent System Operator.
Right.
And it is converting these prices to the...
Now, are these real prices? Or
those are real prices.
Wow.
They're,
okay.
This application gets them from the public web service, converts them to retail prices, and distributes to the Silverlight client through Windows Azure solution. Essentially, all the prices are flowing through the service bus here. What we do on the Windows Azure side is we basically aggregate this data, make the necessary conversions, and serve them to all the connected Silverlight clients. We essentially can change the time periods where the prices get displayed. Could be 1 day, 1 hour, and so on, any kind of level of granularity. And with Silverlight interface, we obviously can manipulate a lot of controls.
Right.
We can provide the status, the consumption. In here, we see the consumption of the energy that is being metered by the smart meters and distributed to the utility company.
So where, let me understand. So where are these smart meters right now? Where are they located?
For the sake of the demo, we are simulating the load, but essentially they will be located at home residences where this application might be running on the home PC.
So in this case, so would this be my own meter in my own house?
Yes. It will be house meters that are currently being deployed as part of industry-wide smart grid initiative.
So I don't really care about other people's meters on the grid. I care about my own meter.
Yes.
And so this would be myself looking at my own energy consumption.
Essentially. But the
and
smart
so
meters might distribute this information over other channels of communication that
sure.
the utility company has set up
sure.
before.
The utility company obviously cares about everybody's meter, and
yes.
they're using that to price the electricity, right?
Yes.
But for my personal use, this application, this solution we're looking at, would be the consumer's view into their own energy consumption.
That's correct.
And so if I go and turn off more lights, then my consumption is going to go down, and I'd see it almost immediately, right?
Yes, correct.
Sweet.
And you will see the changes in
green.
The projected monthly cost.
Lots of green.
projected monthly energy use and accumulated monthly cost today.
Now, course. Where do those numbers come from?
Well, they come from the calculations. So this
my history.
Yes, the history.
Right.
So since you have the whole history of energy prices being changed and the consumption changing, you can predict how much, with current energy prices, you will be consuming over the next months.
Wow.
And
so definitely it would give me an incentive to go and get my kids to turn off the lights when they leave a room.
Correct. Essentially give you the ability to make educated decisions about
right.
your energy use.
This is pretty sweet.
This
now
is, all,
this is all in Silverlight, right?
Yeah, this is Silverlight 3, all RTM versions. It is using Windows Azure SDK, November CDP. It's also using Service Bus, AppFabric, November CDP, all of the latest releases.
Okay, let me turn the camera off because I do want to talk about the architecture, what's going on, and we can talk about all the various pieces and how they all hang together. Sound
okay.
good?
Yes.
So that was pretty snazzy stuff. I mean, we saw this application, the older application, the legacy application, that I guess is still being deployed, and then we saw this new one. Although one was for, I guess, the supplier, the ISO, the other one was for the consumer. How do those fit together?
Well, there's a piece in the middle here.
Okay.
Yeah, and Invensys is coming out with a brand new application just announced for corporate energy management for very large industrial consumers of electricity.
Right.
I know you know your home bill, $200 a month, or that. These guys, a big factory, or maybe, certainly a lot more.
Yeah.
These guys are spending $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 a month, and very small improvements in their efficiency, a lot of money. We have smart meters are not new. They've been around for a while. So this application takes that the smart meter data and converts the energy information and energy events into financial data. So it goes to their ERP systems and they can better make decisions, how to better improve their processes. So that little piece of information that you see there, and you associate it with an event such as producing a product or doing and spitting that information out to the right systems, it's a lot. So it's very interesting to us.
That's kind of how things get utilized.
Yes.
That makes more sense now. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So under the covers, Alexei, you started to talk about the architecture. How does that all kind of come together? Obviously, we saw the Silverlight front end, but there's a lot more to it, obviously, I'm sure.
Sure. So essentially, the architecture is driven by the primary requirement here, which is a massive scale. The system has to be scalable on a massive scale across the country when millions of homes literally and businesses get to participate in the smart grid infrastructure, get connected with smart meters and PCs and other devices,
mm-hmm.
and obviously they have to receive this data in real time, this pricing data changes every few seconds, and we have to deliver it on a massive scale. So the only system that allows us to do that right now is AppFabric Service Bus. We literally don't have any other mechanism that would allow us to send a message in multicast fashion and get this message delivered to the end users in a matter of seconds simultaneously without actually looping through every single consumer. And every single consumer might actually feed the data back to the service bus and therefore to our application that is powering this set of applications.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we have Windows Azure solution, people work in Windows Azure Fabric, and we also have service bus endpoints serving as the connectivity points for our clients, and we have Silverlight clients that are connecting to Windows Azure WebRoll,
mm-hmm.
and they receive this information in a rooted duplex protocol that Silverlight 3 provides. And one of the lessons that we learned during this exercise is basically that Silverlight 3 does not have its own scalability capabilities that allow it to work in a duplex fashion with Windows Azure solution. So we had to develop a workaround for that allows it to scale on the back end
mm-hmm.
to more than one instance of the web server. We need Silverlight and Windows Azure proxy for it, so that it can communicate with a service bus in multicast fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, WPF clients and console applications that need to talk to service bus, they could do it directly
mm-hmm.
without actually going to Windows Azure.
Mm-hmm.
They could use regular net event relay binding of a service bus in their WCF configuration and essentially deliver these messages in multicast fashion to all the consumers.
Wow, so that's pretty impressive. Obviously, the scale that we're talking about here is big. Millions and millions of end users
yeah.
having these Silverlight screens, presumably looking at this information coming out, the pricing information, and using that in an actionable way, right? Being
right.
able to monitor and control the electricity in your home.
Right. That's another reason why we might need Windows Azure compute solution as well,
right.
because we might need to scale the aggregation portion of this application
mm-hmm.
later on.
Mm-hmm.
When there's a lot of data to compress and aggregate and convert. Currently, we don't have many installations, obviously,
mm-hmm.
and it works solely with a single instance of Windows Azure, but later on, when millions of homes and businesses get connected, we might need to scale it out to multiple web roles and worker roles.
Mm-hmm. So we talked earlier that you had been using Azure for quite some time. With this particular project, how long from start to finish?
I think Dave started with you about 8 months ago, right? Approached Microsoft the idea. He had a vision being involved with Smart Grid as he is.
The development part of it only lasted 3.5 months.
Wow.
So in 3.5 months we developed the entire solution.
Interesting. So having spent that 3.5 months developing that solution, are there things you can share around the architecture, why you made certain architecture decisions, why you made technology decisions, and how those were affected?
Yes, the learnings from this project, they actually made it to a number of blogs by Microsoft employees, my blog, Tomasz Janczyk's blog from Silverlight team. We worked with Tomasz to actually develop a scalable version of Calling the Books protocol for Silverlight, and it might make it to Silverlight 4, in fact, as one of the features.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Paul? Any technology architecture decisions that you would like to share?
Not really. Like I said, I came late into their project. You know, I came into cover for Dave because he had the other conference going.
Right.
But got to get my feet wet and get play with it quite a bit over this last couple of weeks. It was something that we could have developers in five regions of the company working on the same project at the same time. And all of us, when it went down for maintenance, everybody called each other at the same time. It's not working, you know. That was something else. But
the solution that Paul has showed, he developed it with another developer from his team in a matter of 2 weeks.
Wow.
That would consume the data from the same pilot application. So
wow.
It's really that easy to start consuming this data over Service Bus. Service Bus is really nothing more than additional layer on top of WCF.
Right.
You use very familiar programming model from the developer perspective. Of course, there's a lot that they developed on in the cloud side, but you don't see that. You see regular WCF bindings.
Right. Well, this is great. Thank you so much for coming in and showing me some of this stuff. I know, Alexei, you got to run back to the booth. I think they're waiting for you to start helping.
Have an office duty.
Yeah, exactly, booth duty. So thanks, Paul, for joining me.
Thank you, Alexei. Ben, for having us.
Yeah. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks.
And thank you for watching.